101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Mike and McCarty, Erin on vacation. She'll be back on Monday. Jeff Luce in for Erin. I saw Bill Joyce posted several weeks ago. He was out of town and they were at the airport and they had called a car service of some type and it was an autonomous vehicle.
Yeah.
Came to pick him up and they entered their name, you know, their destination in this car, and he videoed like, there's no driver. This is crazy.
I want that car so bad.
Really?
Oh my gosh. I would love, love, love to have that.
Well, you might have the opportunity right here in Shreveport. Sportran has announced they're going to start using autonomous vehicles. Denaro Washington, Sportran director on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
How are you?
Great. Thanks for joining us. You just got back from Boston. Congratulations on this APTA Transform Conference in Boston, and you spoke on behalf of Sportran. Tell us about this Evolve service.
It's very exciting because we received a SMART grant about 2 years ago. And as a part of that SMART grant, we've been working heavily with our union, which partnered with us on this grant because we're looking at how do we introduce autonomous vehicles in public transit? It is one of the few grants that's out there that was 100% from USDOT for looking at introducing these vehicles into public transit. So we've been working over the last year or so on a white paper closely with our union and some external partners. We're down to the point of this phase of engagement now and actually getting service assessment and workforce readiness prepared. So hopefully in 2026, we'll have these vehicles on the road and ready to engage and test those out for USDOT.
Do you feel like that's going to be a full rollout in 2026, or will that be the trial run that you're going to be doing?
We're going to be doing a trial run. The reason it's called a trial run is because we're going to be testing several different types of vehicles. So one of the major reasons that we're doing this is we're always looking for how do we give things to Shreveport that other cities have already rolled out. One of the case studies that we had was Jacksonville Transit in Jacksonville, Florida. They actually just announced and did their major rollout back in June of this year. And so we are the second system across the country that will do this major rollout of public transit vehicles. And where we're looking at this point in time for rolling these vehicles out is within our entertainment district downtown. And also, you know, we're spending tens of millions of dollars in our medical corridor. We're about ready to break ground on that project and get under construction, and hopefully we'll be able to roll out some of these vehicles in that medical corridor as well.
That's exciting. We're the second system in the country to roll this out. Did I hear that right?
That's correct. At the scale we're looking at rolling this out, we would be the second system that would roll this out in partnership with a union, creating new jobs, creating new service for our city. So it's a great thing for us. It's exciting for our staff. You know, people ask questions, are we eliminating jobs? No, this is not eliminating jobs. This is adding additional service, coordinating more with truly creating that walkable, bikeable plan that we talk about all the time. And so that's what I engage each and every day is how do we make sure that Shreveport is on top of the curve. If we love Shreveport, then we should roll these type projects out on a federal scale.
This is so exciting.
Yes, this is exciting news, Denaro Washington, Sportran director. You said you're going to be trying different types of vehicles, and I'm not familiar with vehicles as a general rule. Can you take any vehicle and turn it into an autonomous vehicle, or are they specifically designed for this purpose?
So they have several different vehicles that have already been slated. Some of them are in Toyota form vans. We're looking at a Ford Transit. Similar to what we operate in our mobility section at this point in time for on demand. And then we're also looking at a full-scale, large-scale bus, which will probably be introduced more like the 27 to 28 time frame. In 26, we do feel like we will roll out a Toyota van, a Ford Transit, and possibly a completely driverless vehicle with no steering wheel in it to test out to see how that works in our community.
No steering wheel at all, so if something goes wrong, somebody can't jump behind the wheel.
So there is a control. There are safeguards in place to make sure that these vehicles operate safely. One of the things that I will tell the public to make them feel a bit more comfortable, each one of these vehicles will have a control operator on them. If something happens during this testing phase, there will be a person in the seat on the other vehicles that have steering wheels. And the vehicle that does not have a steering wheel, there is a safeguard and a remote control that actually controls that vehicle and makes sure it's operating in a safe format. Also, we're creating, as part of our new op center that we built at Sport Transit City, the old Sun Furniture Center, we built an operation control center. So in that operation control center, a lot of these tasks and things will be watched via camera, and we'll also be able to be functioned from that center as well.
I am loving every minute of this. That is incredible. For this trial phase, how many vehicles are you planning on introducing?
So at this point in time, we're going to have about a $10 to $15 million grant to invest in vehicles and technology for this project. That's 100% federally funded. So it will probably be about 10 to 12 vehicles we'll be introducing in the market.
And once the program is fully implemented, what's the number of vehicles you expect?
So as we make our way through this trial program, we're going to see which vehicles work the best for us. And then we will work with the to introduce additional vehicles, like I say, in our entertainment district first, and then in our medical corridor, and then we'll look at some first and last mile transportation opportunities throughout the city.
Well, this is exciting news. I'm so impressed. Congratulations on this grant and this program. We're looking forward to seeing these on the road.
We're looking forward to introducing them.
Denaro Washington, Sportran Director. Look, have a great weekend, and we'll stay in touch.
Sounds good. Y'all take care. Bye-bye.
You too, sir. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, Jeff.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Addie, what's your name? Little boy.
No kidding.
What's your name, little boy? You over there.
Ruben did a great job. My dear friend Jeff Luce came in.
Cool.
We had a great week.
Good.
Were you gone?
Yeah, I was gone.
Okay. No, I'm just kidding.
The Mangum brothers left me a note saying, yes. Aaron, you've been replaced by Mike and Mark Mangum. So it's Mike and Mike and Mark in the morning. Thank you, guys. Love you.
Yeah. Yeah, Jeff saw that and he was like, oh, thanks. What am I, chopped liver? Yeah, we had twin blends in last week.
Oh, good.
They came
good
in
guys.
One day. So I stayed for about an hour. It was awesome. They're so much fun.
And, you know, pickleball passed?
Pickleball passed.
9-3?
Yes.
I saw somebody.
Which I was glad about. I was glad not only that it passed, but that it passed with that type of majority.
You know, and I saw somebody, a conservative, post online this weekend that all the Democrats voted to support the pickleball thing.
Really?
And none of the Republicans. I went, well, you're not quite right. And said city council. I'm like, well, no, you're not quite right. It was only one Republican voted against it. Only Chris Crackman was the only conservative that voted against it. All right. The rest of them voted for it.
Yeah, because we spoke with
Grace Ann Blake?
Grace Ann, but I'm going to have to look at my notes now because I just went blank. I am so John Atkins.
Okay.
Sorry, John. We spoke with John Atkins earlier in the week,
mm-hmm.
who was for it.
They all voted for it except for Chris Crackman, Ken Epperson, and Ron Cawthorn, I believe. The only three that voted against it. So two Democrats voted no, and one Republican voted no. Now, Mike, this ain't a done deal. I don't want people running out and going, oh, it's going to be pickleball that's coming. That's not right. You still got to go before the bond commission. You still got to draw up plans. You got to estimate the cost. And then the commission's got to vote again. Is it worth doing this? Are the plans going to match what we need? Can poor people use the courts? That's another thing people have said. You know, it's a public park.
Mm-hmm.
Are you charging for it? Or is there going to be some provisions for people who want to play pickleball who can't afford it, perhaps?
Hey, don't poo-poo on this right now.
I know. I'm already
this positive. It's good.
It could be really good.
It moves. It's moving forward at this point. I'm proud of the commission for supporting this.
And I go back to what John Paul Young said, and it was right on point. Do we want to be a community with a lot of money in the bank and 100,000 population, 130,000 population?
Right.
Is that where we're, because that's where we're headed. He said, if we don't start investing in some things to try to keep people here.
Thank you.
We're going to lose out more people.
Yes.
And more people and more people. And he's right. He's right on point. So I'm in favor of it. I know there are questions, and we still got to go to the bond commission. You got to make sure it's a wise investment of the money. And will it return? Will the math? That was my question. Will the math? Will it really bring back? And I'll be watching it. I'll be one of the ones who will watch it and say, hey, what did it make last year? Didn't make enough money. We'll
see. But once it's built and going to be constantly critical, I don't know.
Well,
if that's helpful, is it?
Well, you know, let's look at the convention center and the Hilton Hotel, which were going to be self-sustaining when we started that whole mess way back when. It's never happened. They're not self-sustaining. The city spends a lot of money on those properties. So is that going to be the
sure
the deal?
I'm
with
not
the
saying forget
too?
It and don't right. stay on top of it. I'm just saying let's be supportive.
I agree. I totally agree. But let's not try to let, you know, somebody with no knowledge run this complex. Let's
right.
bring in some experts
sure. right.
and say, hey, you're charged with bringing in 4 or 6 or 8 tournaments a year.
And
you go do that.
And let's allocate. Let's allocate
yes.
up front maintenance and upkeep.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's don't let this, because quite frankly, you talked about, you brought up the convention center. It got dreary and drab looking.
Oh, absolutely.
And there are major issues
mm-hmm.
with the convention center.
Yes.
That could have been prevented with just some regular maintenance
yep.
and upkeep.
That's absolutely right. Absolutely right. So, you know, I'm not poo-pooing it. I don't want you to hear me poo-pooing it. I'm just going to watch it. I'm like the old Ronald Reagan saying, trust but verify.
Right.
You know, I'm going to verify.
And
make
a lot
sure
of
maths.
A lot of people on the pickleball say, why don't we have indoor courts? Why don't we? Jeff's son plays for Baylor, pickleball for Baylor.
Okay.
And
who knew it was a college sport? Okay.
Right. I think it's a club sport.
Okay,
but it's still,
gotcha. All right.
But he said the pros don't like indoor courts.
Really?
They actually prefer outdoor courts. And USA Pickleball was saying, no, do these outdoor courts. Do these outdoor.
Okay. Interesting.
So, again, do some research.
Yeah.
Find out.
Absolutely.
Before you just are ultra critical.
Mm-hmm. Don't hike a leg
you,
on
I just
it
mean
yet.
In
no.
general.
I mean, general public. Don't hike. And I'm still hearing people, fix the roads, fix the water. Please stop.
I was speaking with somebody just last week about it before the vote, and they're like, well, I sure wish they'd focus on the roads. I said, this is not road money. These are revenue bonds.
And the parish can't fix city roads.
Right.
It's not allowed. They can't fix the city's water.
And
it's
John
not
Atkins
allowed.
Addressed that. He said, actually, the parish roads are in good shape.
Yes, exactly.
As a general rule, overall. Mm-hmm. Of course, there are going to be some every
right.
once in a while. But
mm-hmm. And they're getting real close to opening Walter B. Jacobs. They're real close.
Okay.
Within just a few weeks. So
really?
That's exciting.
We got to get Rusty back on.
Yeah, he can bring some red beans and lice.
Yeah. Grace Ann, some more good news. Speaking of pickleball, she gives us the details on the vote.
Mm-hmm.
Caddo Parish Commission did vote last week. We'll hear from her after the news in about 10 minutes. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Now breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Caddo Parish Commissioner Grace Ann Blake spoke to us last week about the commission vote on Pickleball Park. Find out what she's got to say right after the break. Mike and McCarty, Aaron McCarty back in studio after her vacation. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on their free Keel app.
Back with more on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Caddo Parish Commission held their vote yesterday on the $10 million pickleball park proposal for Caddo Parish. Grace Ann Blake, Caddo Parish Commissioner, joining us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Grace Ann, good morning.
Mike,
I can't help but be excited about this. I've said from the onset, I absolutely support this. I think this can be a game changer for bringing.
No pun intended. It is truly a game changer for Caddo Parish. Very exciting.
So, on the proposal, first of all, tell us how yesterday went. I saw the vote was 9-3. That makes me happy. I'm glad it wasn't like a 6-5 vote.
Yeah, it was a very strong vote. When I first came on the commission, the pickleball project was the first initiative that I learned about. Had no clue where they were considering to have it located. I just remember looking at administration and saying, these are the types of quality of life projects that this,
yes.
Thank you for this. And so I was just on board day one and started learning about it, asking questions and going to meetings. There was no contentiousness when this started. And so I think that through this process, we've done a lot of working through understanding what this parish needs. And so you saw a very strong vote. This sits on the cusp of John Atkins district and my district on the Lash property on Ellerby Road at the Y. It's a very convenient location. Easy access from the interstate. I mean, this is huge for South Shreveport that has no entity like this. And I'm just daily going to say, most people know what we're going to build.
Agreed.
And if anyone knows what's happening with the park with Walter B. Jacobs, the investment into that facility is absolutely astounding and incredible. It's going to be a nationwide sought-after place to come and enjoy. And so, you know, we're doing some really right things for Caddo Parish, and this, too, is going to be a gem. So we're going to see a lot of growth from this. This is going to be three things it's going to hit for local people to have play. It's going to be fun and wonderful, and people will be able to enjoy the park. Number two, this is going to help bring in tourism, and it's going to directly put money into this community that then is going to help with a lot of the problems people say that we have. And number three, this is going to help with jobs. I'm a service provider. I own a hair salon. I have successfully for 27 years. I've been a stylist for 34 years in this community. We need people to come to this community for the service workers of this community. And that is spread everywhere in Caddo Parish. Heck, let me just say, Bossier, this is great for the region. This is a regional project. This is huge. And that's why we saw Nun Gesser with such great support.
We're talking with Grace Ann Blake, Caddo Parish Commissioner. Grace Ann, we spoke with Commissioner John Atkins earlier this week, and he had some concern about whether or not we need 19 courts, if we should scale it down. Was that addressed in the meeting in the vote yesterday?
Yeah, let me talk to that. So it's going to be a competitive tournament facility. So that's the number we need. And, you know, right now, the numbers for what the actual park is going to cost and the build, we needed to ask for the 10 mil so we could go in with the project and sit down and get real numbers. And that's just part of building a project. So the 19 is because we need that for the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a 1,000-seat stadium. And imagine a facility that we might be able to do cheer competition. Or we could have retreats for, you know, yoga. This is going to be a facility that is going to be multifunctional. So,
now, was there any discussion, because we've gotten messages and people asking about, or is there any discussion about possible indoor courts?
So we're working with Pickleball USA and the needs for pickleball. So this is a regional competition, and there are people that love indoors and those that love outdoors. We can talk about tennis. My son was a lacrosse player. Kids really didn't like the indoor lacrosse. And so there's different wants and needs. People actually like that outdoor. And so imagine having competition in the fall. in the spring, there is going to be shade coverage, rain coverage, where there's, a overhead cover, things built up for sunshade. So this is being designed with an understanding and the needs that are for this region. So just know, I live across the street from a park, and people are out there full costumes, medieval time, doing sword work in the middle of summer when it's 100 degrees. I mean, people that love sport and love activities, they love outdoors. So, Pickleball USA knows what they're doing. And
Pickleball actually didn't Pickleball USA actually prefer outdoor?
Yes. Yes. So, imagine if you live in Montana and you want to play a tournament. Well, guess where you're going to go play a tournament at? Shreveport, Louisiana, Caddo Parish, this region of Northwest Louisiana. And people will love the weather that we have here. I just came back from New York City. It was already chilly. Came home. It's perfect for me. This is, weather that some people seek after. So, I just feel like you're never going to answer every question and make everyone happy. At some point, we have to make the decisions to do what's right to grow this community. So I was in New York City walking the High Line in the open. It started sprinkling a little bit. I didn't stop walking. I stayed out and enjoyed the walk.
You
need to look at the long game, the big picture.
And I think you guys have done a great job doing that. This is Jeff Luce, by the way, Grace Ann. And
hi, Jeff.
My son plays pickleball for Baylor University, and so we end up traveling to a lot of these facilities, and we've seen incredible facilities that we've gone to. So I'm super excited about this, and I think that you guys have done a great job on educating our city on the value of this project. I mean, truthfully, the thing is that I love the fact that you're doing 19 courts, but I am just curious if there's going to be room for it. I think you're going to need that at some point. I think that this is going to catch on in a way that maybe we really haven't fully grasped at this point. Your thoughts?
So my thoughts are, surely there will be room for expansion, but this project is really designed intentionally for this project to bring in revenue, to take care of the funds for these needs, and to grow this immersive park, and that it's going to bring in tourism. So that would be right. The job that this facility is. Just like Walter B. Jacobs, they've done the planning with the architects, which the architects are local Northwest Regional Architects, a fantastic firm. And the plans are very well thought and very conservative in thought, sure, and understanding needs as such. And so, I think we can look at the plans as now and make some adjustments for further. We might not need to build the size parking lot in the plans. We might have space to add to it if we need to, things like that.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm excited about 19 courts. I just think that it's going to bring such demand that may be underestimated even at this point. So this is going to be a great thing. Are there other facilities?
These are interesting conversations definitely to be had about this. And I think that for me, I knew nothing of pickleball except for exploded while I was a hairstylist working my butt off after COVID. And I was like, what is this pickleball? Pickleball's been around a long time.
Yes, it's been around since the 60s.
Yes, and pickleball, let me just say, something that some people are saying on social media, I've really pulled myself off of social media to stop seeing all the crazy stuff across the board, not just about pickleball, but politics. And everyone has an unusually strong voice right now that I'm not quite understanding. The pickleball hits every demographic of age, every demographic of race, every demographic of economics. And so there's so much to be said about the sport of health, fun, and growth. This is such an amazing sport. I will be playing pickleball at some point and excited to learn of the game.
Grace Ann, thank you so much. Just kudos to the commission for being forward-thinking enough to move this forward. Yeah. And this is exciting news. I think this is going to be really good.
Thank you. While we're talking about forward-thinking, tonight's the Mudbugs opening game. And I heard they were almost sold out for their tickets. So kudos to people that, had that.
Oh, that's great. Vision. Yes. That's
for that vision, guys. So good. Y'all have a great, wonderful day.
Grace Ann, thanks for coming on with us. Have a great weekend. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
Aaron, back from vacation last week. Mm-hmm. Did you put a lot of miles on the Bentley, or did you stay in town?
No, I stayed in town.
Just playing some poker. Hung out. Played poker.
The state poker championship is at Horseshoe, and over the next last week, and then some this week, and so I spent a little money playing poker, and I realized I'm not real good. But you know, I was there on Thursday evening.
Okay.
We start at 6 o'clock. This is the first event Thursday evening. Start at 6 o'clock. I'm on a roll. Things are going good. I'm like, this is cool. I almost doubled my chip stack pretty good in about 15 minutes. And then at about 6:15, there's smoke in the building. We had to evacuate the freaking casino because of some sort of fire on the, you know, the rubber things that are on the outside of the boat to keep it from banging into the, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Those things caught fire.
Really?
Yes. And funny thing was, there was a first responder banquet going on in the River Dome. So they're all there. The whole fire police are all there. So they came in and they put it out. And then you had to wait for state police to come and clear the boat and turn the power back on, make sure the power was all good. And
now, where was this?
Horseshoe Casino.
It was Horseshoe.
Yeah. Now, they didn't clear the... Some people said they cleared the whole property. No, they didn't. They just cleared the boat.
Okay.
And it was funny because I was coming... The poker room is on the bottom floor, first floor. And so I'm on the escalator going up to the second floor, which is the ramp to where the $1 million wall is. And I'm on the escalator. And right before I get to the top on the escalator, power went out. So I did one of those stumble, you know, it stopped. So I almost fell and busted my butt. But power went out right as I was coming up on the escalator. And
you were stuck on the escalator for hours,
yes,
right?
I didn't know how to get off.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure what to do.
It wasn't moving.
So we had to sit and, you know, either people sat in the bar, they sat in the restaurant or whatever. I sat at the little thing across from where they had the bar, and I was just drinking water and drank a soda and chatting with some of the folks who were in the tournament. I didn't get back on the boat till almost 9. So it was like a 2.5 hour wait.
Wow.
It was a long time. So, but I had such a big stack of chips. I'm like, I'm not abandoning my chips.
Yeah.
I want to go back and play with my chips. So, but then I busted out after that. So.
Did you watch any of the Charlie Kirk Memorial yesterday?
Mike, I didn't because I didn't want to be in that emotional state, which I knew it would put me in. And I said, We couldn't turn it off. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to go back and watch it at some point, but I have to get myself ready for it.
Micah was texting us after church. We went to lunch with my brother-in-law and his wife. I love this little tradition we've got going. And Micah was texting. Already people were thousands had been waiting since like 4 a.m. to get in. Mm. And when we got home, we turned it on. And I think it started maybe 1 or 2 o'clock our time.
Right.
And I couldn't turn it off.
Yeah.
I've got the most powerful moment I want to play for you.
Okay.
After the news at the top of the hour.
Cool.
Micah McCarty, Aaron, back from vacation, 101.7 FM, 710KEEL.com. FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty. We got out of church yesterday, and we went to lunch with my brother-in-law and his wife. We do that as often as we can when they're in town. And Micah, my daughter, texted us and said, and she's just bawling already. Mm. She's and this was 11:30 our time here. So 12:30 in Florida, but she had on the Charlie Kirk Memorial already. And I didn't even realize how much she had been affected and influenced by Charlie Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
Just in general, her being in her mid-30s.
My boy's the same, yeah. Mm-hmm. Love him.
And when Charlie was shot on, I believe, the 10th, she texted me immediately. Charlie Kirk was just shot. And that was one of those moments where you go, wait, you know.
Yeah.
Wait. And of course, they immediately go online, and then there's a video. And to me, it looked AI at first.
Right.
You can't trust anything anymore. Unfortunately, it wasn't AI. But Aaron, we got home after lunch, and I had the race I wanted to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday was Azerbaijan in Baku.
Yeah,
Wanted to watch that.
It was a yawner.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
It's actually really good.
No, it wasn't.
I wanted to watch the Saints game at 3 o'clock.
Yawner.
Whew. That's one I'm glad I missed.
It's embarrassing.
But we turned on the memorial, and we had turned on Fox News, and they had a Christian singer on at that time. Already 60,000 people in the stadium, still coming in. Then they had an overflow at the arena next door in Glendale, Arizona. Another 10,000-20,000 or more. And then people that couldn't even get into the overflow area.
Right. It was packed. I mean, it was jam-packed.
Incredibly emotional. We ended up, because we were watching the performer, the singers, and it was an all-out worship service.
Mm-hmm.
It was incredible. But then Fox would come in with their commentary, and I'm like, I don't want to hear this. I want to hear. Yeah. And Micah said, turn on TPUSA, go to the website, and they're just streaming it straight. And
there,
so that's what we did. I did it on my iPad and cast it to the TV. So that's how we watched it. So it was uninterrupted. I couldn't turn it off. Every speaker, it was from his pastor to his staff and friends and people that were influenced by and people who influenced him. And then the president's cabinet, the entire cabinet was there. Tulsi Gabbard, Bobby Kennedy, but Marco Rubio. And it was, they were all just wonderful. They were all, it was very moving and glorifying Jesus.
Yeah.
Marco Rubio's was phenomenal. And I kept thinking, oh my gosh, this is the president of the United States cabinet talking about Jesus openly, freely.
Who would have thunk that, right?
Thank you.
Yeah.
We haven't had that the past 4 years, and I shudder to think how it would have been. Well, no, nobody would have been there if Trump hadn't have won. If it was in a Harris administration, there wouldn't have been anybody there. But Erica Kirk came up, Charlie's widow.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. That woman, if you want to see the strength of the Holy Spirit, because, and people were, I don't know how she does it. I don't know how she does it.
Yeah.
And she said, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but it's, we can't. When you see video, I've seen video since then of he and her, like on the show. Aaron, if you get a chance to look at how she looks at him.
Mm.
Oh my gosh. Amazing.
True love. Yeah.
But if you want to, when she first came out after he was shot and killed last week and she spoke, there was one thing I was wishing she would have said that she didn't. I didn't fault her, but she did say it yesterday. Ruben, will you play that clip?
My husband, Charlie, he wanted to save young men just like the one who took his life. On the cross, our Savior said, Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do. That man, that young man, I forgive him. I forgive him because it was what Christ did and is what Charlie would do. The answer to hate is not hate. The answer we know from the gospel is love and always love. Love for our enemies and love for those who persecute us.
Just amazing. Mm. That's the side I want to be on. And because of this response, people have now gone, I want to know more about this.
Yes.
They're not burning down cities, looting businesses.
They're talking about love.
They're holding prayer vigils.
We're talking about God, yeah.
And coming together and forgiving. Humans can't do that on their own.
Hmm. It takes a special kind of person. That's for darn sure. I mean, imagine if your spouse, the person you love the most in the world, is gunned down and you can stand up and say, I forgive him. Because it's not about hate, it's about love.
Wow. And where does that come from?
Yeah.
Where does that come from? Mm-hmm. People want to know.
Yeah, you bet.
Thank her.
I want some of that. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mikey McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Key.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Today is the first day of fall. Oh, the crispness in the air.
Where?
Somewhere, not here.
Not here. What was with that storm last night?
Oh, my gosh.
Just
I don't
popped
know.
Up out of the blue. The hail. Did you see some of the ping pong size hail in Bossier?
I got hail at my house.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, man. It was coming down.
We didn't get any. My wife had just gone out to go running. She left. And then we hear this. You know, I said, oh, she called and she goes, make sure my windows are rolled up. I'm on my way home.
Yeah. I got in trouble years ago when my kids were little. You know, I'm really not a neglectful parent.
No, I wouldn't think so.
My children used to love to go out and play in the rain.
Sure.
And they, one time it started hailing when they're in the garage and we're watching the hail. And they're like, can we go play in it, Mom? And I'm like, well.
I just took a big swig of coffee.
Sorry about
almost
that.
Choked.
And so I gave them each a garbage can lid. You know, the metal garbage can lid.
Okay.
And I said, okay, put a garbage can lid over your head. And y'all can go run and play in the hail.
Protect that noggin.
And all you could hear was like, it sounded like gunshots. They're out there running around in the hail. And the hail's going, bing, bing, bing. And I'm like, I'm going to get arrested for this.
That's
awesome.
I'm going
to get in trouble.
No, that's awesome.
But the kids remember. They remember going and playing in the hail and then bouncing off. Because when they were hearing it, it sounded like explosions on top of their head.
Oh,
you know?
Sure.
And they thought it was the best thing ever.
Put on a football helmet or something and go run around.
Years later, somebody, a friend of mine who works for DCFS, who shall remain nameless, called me and said, we have a warrant for your arrest. We don't think the statute of limitations is up on that yet. But, because I let them have fun. They're
exactly.
not going to get hurt.
Let your kids get dirty.
Yes. Let them play in the mud. Let them eat mud, for crying out loud. It's not going to kill them.
Right.
It really isn't.
Now, get off the screens
yeah.
and get out on the grass.
Now, they would have gone out there and played in the hail with nothing on their heads, which yeah. might have been bad. But I thought, you know what? Put a little metal garbage can on your head and you're good.
Going to school the next day and they just have a bunch of little lumps on their heads. How do you explain that?
Yeah, exactly.
Bruises all over right. their arms. Yeah.
They had a couple of bruises because they'd be running around. They were holding the lid up so the hail was hitting them on the arm. I'm like, whatever. We'll blame it on something else.
Oh.
A dog bit them.
My daughter was absolutely fearless when she was still in her crib. When she woke up, she would start rattling. She'd stand up in her crib and rattle it like it was a jail cell.
Oh, man.
Until she started climbing out.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
then she had bumps on her head. She had bruises on her legs. She
out,
had
yeah.
All the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, and I looked at my wife one time. I said, "They're going to think we're beating the snot out of
yes,
this child."
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's just fearless.
Yeah. Mine would go, and they would take these little ramps that you would ride a bike up and jump.
Oh
and
yeah,
they weren't
I
good
did that.
At they weren't good at it yet, and so they would ride the bike up the ramp and that's going fast. And if they didn't do it right, well, it nosedives.
Right? Oh,
and,
yeah.
And it dumps them on their head.
Believe me.
And I used to watch them do it, and I'm like, no, don't do, y'all don't know what you're doing yet. At least get it off the concrete. Put it in the grass,
right,
maybe.
Right,
but, you know, the kids will do silly things. You got to let them get skint up a little.
Thank you.
It's not going to kill them.
No.
It's not going to kill them. They'll be all right.
We did that. Of course, when I was a kid, Evel Knievel was all the rage.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All the rage. That was our hero.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a motorcycle then. I was still too young, but I did have that bicycle.
You tried it all.
That banana seat bicycle.
Yes.
Man. And I'm in the ER with a broken collarbone. And I only cried when they cut my Larry Zonka jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Right up the middle.
Oh,
right
yeah.
between the 3 and the 9.
Oh,
I'm like,
no!
No!
There goes the jersey. Yep, it's gone.
Aaron's got news next. 101.7 FM, 710. Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Glad to have Erin back from her vacation. You were out last. You missed a lot last week, actually.
A lot was going on, yeah.
A lot was going on locally, but also on a national scale.
Yeah.
Of course, the whole Charlie Kirk thing.
Mm-hmm.
Next hour, if you missed earlier this morning, wow, Erica, just an unbelievable lady.
Mm-hmm.
But also the firing of Jimmy Kimmel.
Yes.
You missed that. And not that you were a big Jimmy Kimmel fan.
No.
I don't think.
No.
But
no.
I want to get your take. I want to talk about that a little bit when we get back. We got to take a quick break. Mike and McCarty, Erin Beck, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Erin McCarty back in studio after her vacation last week. Mm-hmm. Mike and McCarty, you weren't here last week. The Jimmy Kimmel firing, which has the left in an outrage because they're actually, well, they're pushing a false narrative.
I find that humorous. I really do find that humorous. Where were you when all the right-wing celebrities were canceled?
Oh.
There's a long list of them.
Oh, yeah.
A long list of them that got canceled or lost jobs or shows canceled, whatever.
Gina Carano, when she was on The Mandalorian, which
yes.
was hugely popular, and she came out in support of Donald Trump, like, oh, her character's
yeah.
gone.
Why weren't you screaming then? Tucker Carlson, Roseanne, Dave Chappelle. We can go on and on. Tim Allen. There's a ton of them.
Right.
Lost jobs, shows got canceled because of their conservative religious beliefs. And you're not screaming. I don't believe in censorship. I don't.
No.
I believe that folks have a right to speak their mind. but you can't come out and scream about Jimmy Kimmel being canceled now when you weren't screaming before. You got to be both ways.
Somebody posted a video of this MSNBC host just ranting about Jimmy Kimmel being fired. Freedom of speech. Blah, blah. Then they same host 2 years ago when Tucker Carlson was fired and he was, well, you can't spew hatred. You can't be a venomous person and expect to stay on the air. Really? The hypocrisy was amazing.
Yeah.
But what even ABC isn't saying is, look, it's not because of his views. And I said this last week. Mm-hmm. Believe me, if Jimmy Kimmel's ratings were of Johnny Carson,
and he was making those affiliates money,
Stephen Colbert was losing $40 to $50 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And Kimmel's ratings have been worse than Colbert's.
Yes. Yes.
Worse than Colbert's.
And they're plummeting. They've been plummeting for a year.
People are tired of it.
They don't want to hear it. Just make me laugh. I want to go to bed. Make me laugh.
Just,
you know, I don't want to hear all that sputum.
Make fun of politicians. Of course. That goes back to Chevy Chase on Saturday Night Live as Gerald Ford falling down
Can't get off an airplane. Yes, exactly.
Of course.
Bring it.
But it's not mean-spirited. The Ronald Reagan, oh, well, they had a skit about Ronald Reagan. That was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't mean-spirited.
And Nixon, they did it. They did it all. They did, you know, they've done Obama. They've done them all. Those are funny.
Jay Leno said, why would you alienate half of your audience?
Yeah.
Why would you choose a side?
I know. I don't understand it. I really don't.
So don't be fooled in going Trump went after him. I don't think Trump made the decision. I think, was it Bob Iger, the head of ABC Disney, that said, we're tired of carrying this. It's no longer worth.
And a ton of affiliates said, we're not going to show the show anymore.
Now, he did make horrendous statements about Charlie Kirk that were not true about Charlie Kirk's assassin.
Yes.
He was propagating a false narrative. And ABC affiliates across the country said, we're not carrying this anymore.
I do want to say, I don't like the FCC chairman doing what he did.
I don't either.
Shouldn't have done it.
I don't either.
Shouldn't have done it.
I don't appreciate that. Don't say you're going after anybody.
Because you know what? That's going to turn.
Left
when the
or
tables
right.
turn. Do you want an Obama or a Biden FCC chairman saying that to Fox News? No, you don't want him saying that.
I don't. Yeah. And don't say we're going after The View next. No. Let the market dictate, which is what happened with Kimmel.
Exactly.
The market dictated Kimmel.
And the market is dictating The View.
Right.
I mean, have you watched that dribble lately?
No, I can't stand the spew.
Oh, my gosh. Nobody's watching it anymore. Just tell us what's going on in the world. Have a little fun.
It's supposed to be entertainment.
Yeah. When you get up there and you want to pontificate, because you're just not good at it.
It was originally a vehicle to get Barbara Walters back on the air, if you remember
that.
It goes back that far.
It was her idea, her concept, and she was wanting to talk about things that were important going on in women's lives. They don't ever talk about women's lives anymore.
No, it's just...
it's all politics.
Years ago, and I said this last week, we used to love to watch David Letterman every night. I'm talking going back from the early days up through.
Yes.
Until he wasn't making fun of W. It was hateful.
Mm.
And it became every night.
Yes.
Over and over until we were like, this is just not funny anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course it wasn't. He's not on the air anymore.
Right. Now, I'm not sure what Channel 3 is going to do permanently, but I was really happy last week. The first night they took him off.
Because you could stay up late and watch.
Because I was staying up late, and they were playing Celebrity Family Feud, the reruns. I'm like, I love that show. I love Steve Harvey. And I'm like, oh, this is funny. I don't ever get to watch it. I don't know how I've missed it,
And I'm like, Steve Harvey's reaction to some of these people.
And some of them are hilarious. And they've had
so funny.
They had two chef teams. They've had some football teams. I mean, they've had some great shows. And I'm like, I'm going to get to watch Celebrity Family Feud now instead of the Kimmel Dribble, which I never would have watched anyway.
I didn't watch it. Never watched it.
Never watched it. Couldn't stand it.
No.
The only part about Kimmel I ever liked was the ongoing feud with Matt Damon. That was the only thing I liked.
I don't know. I don't even know.
And now Kimmel hosts, I think Kimmel hosts Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I'm out. I'll never watch that show again.
Wow.
Never. Yeah. I don't know if it's until new or if it's just reruns, but I'll never watch that again. You went too far, dude.
Yes.
You went too far, and you've lost the bulk of America. A lot of us, anyway.
I would play it, but you've probably heard it because it's been played recently. Johnny Carson, when Mike Wallace asked him, why don't you talk about politics? Johnny Carson, it's not what I'm here for.
Yeah.
It's not what people want to tune in to see.
Right, exactly. And the thing about the what they're doing now is that the political comments you can hear on the Kimmel and some of the Fallon, whoever else is on late night now, I don't even know. You can hear that everywhere else.
Right.
It's everywhere.
Right.
If I want that, I know where to go find it. I don't need it from somebody. I just want to get in bed and go to sleep and get a laugh or two. That's all I wanted.
So if you hear somebody on the left going, Trump canceled Kimmel, no, don't fall for it.
No.
It's not what happened. Kimmel canceled Kimmel.
Yeah. And money. ABC. It means money. We're in the business to make money.
Right.
You ain't making a money. Peace out. You gone.
How are we doing?
We're good.
Okay.
We're good.
All right. Just making sure. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Jumped up out of bed this morning with a spring in my step. Aaron's back today. Believe that, don't you?
Yeah, of course I do. Of course I do.
No, I really was. I was like, oh, that's great. Yay.
Well, I got a little note from the Twin Blends.
Jeff did fantastic, yes, by the way.
Thanks, Jeff, for coming in.
Yes.
The Twin Blends guys must have been in. They left me a note saying that I'd been replaced. And they put something on your Facebook page or theirs. I'm not sure that I'd been replaced, and I said, good, I can sleep in Monday morning.
Yeah. Oh, I missed that.
I was waiting for you to comment on it. I'm like, yeah, let me sleep in Monday morning. And I literally did last night, thank goodness, because I turn off my alarm for the week I'm on vacation.
Sure.
I turn off all the morning alarms.
Sure.
And so last night I was just getting ready to drift off to sleep. I was watching the Sunday night football game, and I went, did I turn my alarm back on? And I went and looked, and I had not. So I turned it on. Because I literally, last week, there were 2 days, Mike, when I slept in all the way to 7:30.
Holy cow.
I roll over, and I look at the clock, and it's 7:30. And I went, wow.
Yeah.
Usually sleeping in for me is 6.
Okay.
You know, this time I slept till 7:30. I thought, man, this is awesome.
Yeah. For me now, it's about 6:45.
Mm-hmm.
And I roll over on Saturday morning going, really?
Yes, I know. I never could sleep till noon. I was never one of those kids as a teenager. Never could. My brothers could. My boys could. But I couldn't sleep that late. My mama could. My mama was a late sleeper. But no, I was always up early with my pops, and we'd get up and drink coffee,
right,
and he'd make biscuits and all that. But I'm a little bit upset because I'm not real happy about football this weekend. I'm not real happy about what the Tigers looked like. I know they blew them out, and they should have blown them out, but...
But, Aaron, it wasn't the whole... It was so frustrating.
Are we ready for Ole Miss?
No.
I don't think we are.
Our offense... I know we lost 4 offensive linemen,
mm-hmm,
and this is basically a rebuilt O-line for LSU, talking about LSU. But... It was frustrating.
Yeah.
It was frustrating. We just couldn't. And I'm thinking, really, you can't move against basically a Division II team?
Yeah. And then Sunday, I was excited to watch the Saints and the Cowboys, and both of them, very lackluster. The Saints particularly, it was horrible.
Well, we had the Charlie Kirk Memorial on, mm-hmm, all day. I was going to check in But then I couldn't turn it off.
Don't watch that Saints game.
Well,
it's depressing.
I checked at one point. And I went, I'm not, it's like, I don't know, 27-3 or something. And I was like, okay, no, I'm not even. What is it? Is it, well, we're against the clock.
It was sad. It really was sad.
Is Kellen Moore not the guy, or is it just a complete rebuilding year?
It's got to be a rebuilding year. And the quarterback's not the quarterback. He's not the guy.
No.
He's just not the guy.
No.
I hate to say it, but.
Glad to have you back.
Thanks.
101.7 FM, 710 KEO, Mike and McCarty. Seven FM, 710 KEO, Mike and McCarty spent yesterday. We got out of church and went to lunch with my brother-in-law and his wife. We've gotten to do that every we used to go to my mother-in-law's every Sunday for dinner, dinner after we were married. But all of the family used to come together.
Right.
Those that were in town. And so this is kind of I feel like this is kind of an honoring that continuing tradition, because basically Philip and then Dina are the only ones left of the kids of their brothers and sisters in town.
Yes.
No, their brothers and sisters live out of town. So.
Okay. And her mom has passed.
Her mom has passed.
Right.
Yeah. So this kind of, I love this tradition to continue.
Where do y'all go typically?
Gibbons.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
And so we left there and came home, and my daughter had texted us while we were at lunch going, I'm already bawling. She was watching the Charlie Kirk Memorial that hadn't even started yet, but they had Chris Tomlin, if you're familiar with Christian artists, huge artist that was already performing, and 60,000 people were already in the stadium.
People were waiting for hours to get in.
Since like 4 a.m, they started lining up. And so I thought it was started later in the afternoon, our time, and it was, but like I said, they had already started. So we got home. And I was going to just turn it on and kind of check it out. But I had the F1 race that I wanted to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I had the Saints game at 3:00.
Yep.
That I wanted to watch. I had recorded Lawrence Welk from the night before. So I...
Because you needed a nap, what?
I just thought I'd make you laugh. But I really did record it.
Oh, my God.
So I wasn't planning on spending the entire day... Plus, we're trying to integrate our new dog in with our existing dog, who's very aggressive, and she doesn't like. Last week, she jumped her.
Oh no!
Yeah, it wasn't pretty,
no.
and so
you got in the middle of it.
I did. I tried to. Well, we had to separate them. So that was on the agenda for yesterday. There's things you can do.
More dog training, yeah.
And we turned on the memorial. Aaron, it was fascinating. And it was a worship service. It wasn't a funeral. And that point was even brought out, that we are so grateful that Charlie lived the kind of life. He was a political figure, yes, but he used that as a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And he really tried to reach young men, and every speaker was just, it was either people that had influenced him, like his pastor, and then people that he had influenced, and then President Trump's cabinet. But then Erica Kirk got up and gave one of the most moving, powerful speeches, and people say, how does she do it? How is she going? Well, amongst ourselves, facing that devastating loss, if you've seen videos of her and him together,
mm-hmm.
Aaron, the way she looks at him.
Oh, yeah.
There's one where she's about to go on his show and she's looking at him and she goes, I can't focus. I'm going to be staring at you the whole time. I can't focus.
Wow.
And she's just,
wow.
She's, wow.
So in love with him. Yeah.
They were both so in love.
Mm-hmm.
And people ask, how does she do this? Well, we don't do it through our own strength.
Mm-mm.
Her faith, the Holy Spirit is holding her up. And it's so evident when she says this.
My husband, Charlie, he wanted to save young men just like the one who took his life. That young man. On the cross, our Savior said, Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do. That young man, I forgive him. I forgive him because it was what Christ did and is what Charlie would do. The answer to hate is not hate. The answer we know from the gospel is love, and always love. Love for our enemies and love for those who persecute us.
Wow. I would say bless her, but she is.
Wow.
And I did have to edit. After she said she forgave him, the place erupted. And there was at least 30, 45 seconds of applause. So I did cut that. So that's why she came back and said, I forgive him, because that's what Jesus would do. That's what Charlie would have done.
And you have to think about that, Mike. Put the person you love the most in the world got brutally murdered. And you're able, a week or two later, you're able to stand up and say, I forgive him. That takes God in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit. There's nothing that can move you to that but God. Really?
I've seen some videos now on some of these reels of people that I follow because they're political figures, obviously more in line of my thinking. But one of them was, it's a girl. And she said, I haven't been to church. But after the shooting, and this is before the memorial, because just the response has been a witness to the lost world. Mm. There's no looting. There's no rioting. There's no burning of businesses because a political figure was assassinated. There have been prayer vigils. There have been calls for peace. There have been calls for forgiveness.
Yes.
There have been calls for coming together. And let's have open dialogue. Let's have civil dialogue. We can disagree.
Yes. And be respectful.
And that's what Charlie was all about. And yes, he talked politics, but he did it so he could talk about his faith in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch any of his videos, he is unabashedly, unashamed to share his faith. And that's what it was about.
We're too scared of God and religion today. We've taken it out of our schools. We've taken it out of many of our homes. It's time maybe that we get back to that.
Well, and I was so encouraged by speeches like Marco Rubio, who shared his faith. And you say the name Jesus, and something happens in a room. You can say Muhammad, you can say John Smith in Mormonism, you can say anything else, nothing. But when you say the name Jesus, something happens. Mm. And to hear Tulsi Gabbard, even Bobby Kennedy, I thought, this is the president's cabinet.
Yeah.
It gives you hope for our nation again.
Mm-hmm.
And now for Erica, the hard work is just beginning.
Oh, absolutely.
Because she's been uplifted and friends and family have been around. But then after, and anybody who's lost a spouse knows, after the funeral and after the friends leave, if you will, that's when the hard work begins.
Yep. Still have the two babies to take care yes. of, too. I mean, they have their regular lives. You got to get back to that.
But she's now the new CEO of Turning Point.
Mm-hmm.
So that will keep her focus.
You bet.
And she said she is a force to be reckoned with.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be amazing to watch what she does.
It was very, very encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Well, needless to say, I didn't get to the Saints game at all yesterday.
Sad. So sad.
Because I did watch the race, the F1 race from mm-hmm. Azerbaijan. But I kind of checked out the Saints game, and as it was happening, I was like, no, I'm not even wasting my time.
Yeah. It's really, Missy Setters put a
yes.
thing on her Facebook page, said, is there a support group for Saints fans? I want in on that. I need that. Somebody
you.
Said, yeah, it's right next door to the Razorback room. Oh, that's cold. That's cold.
101.7 FM, 710 Kiel. Glad to have Aaron back from vacation. Mike and McCarty.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Yeah, I mentioned we were trying to integrate our new dog.
Mm-hmm.
into the family with our existing dog that we got, our existing dog, we got her at the animal shelter.
Okay.
Caddo Parish Animal Shelter. Gosh, 5 years ago now.
And she doesn't play well with others.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't. She's aggressive. And, oh my gosh. I came back on Saturday before lunch. We were over in East Texas,
mm-hmm.
and I got home, and I had my mower on the trailer, and I backed in, and I was letting the gate down on my trailer, Aaron, and I looked back, and there's a dog in my backyard.
Uh-oh.
I was like, what the heck? What? And I realized, oh, it's my next-door neighbor's dog.
Okay.
They had busted out one of the planks
oh, no.
on our fence, and both had come through.
Going over to play. Okay.
And my dog didn't know they were there.
Oh.
And when she hears the gate, she comes bursting out the back door. We have a dog door. And when she came out that back door and saw those two dogs.
Oh, no.
All I could think of was,
this is ugly.
I'm so glad this didn't happen before I got home, Aaron.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have come home to a mess,
mm-hmm.
and would have had to explain to my neighbors,
yeah,
why they don't have two dogs anymore,
right?
And I was able to grab her. Wow.
Mm.
Anyway, so we're trying to integrate our new dog Jada into the family, and so we took them for a walk yesterday afternoon. They say walk them together, close to each other.
Two separate humans.
Right.
Yes. With a dog.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Right. My wife
right.
has one and I have the other.
Okay. So you can pull them back if they go crazy.
Right.
Okay.
And so we did that and it went well. It went real well.
Good.
So we're going to, it's just a time process.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, Whew, so we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I was looking at the city council agenda for their meeting tomorrow, and they have a little lease on there that I found interesting. I want to talk to you about it.
I don't know
if you've heard anything about this yet.
I have not.
I hadn't seen
it
yet.
You keep up with that, the meetings and the agendas.
Yeah, you know,
and
got to have all that reading material at the house. Boy.
Okay. Catch me up when we get back. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I did notice you were in town, you were off last week, but you still did some stuff.
I did a little bit of stuff, yeah. I did a little bit
like,
of stuff.
She's out of her mind.
Well, I don't want to come back and be completely out of the loop.
Right.
I stayed pretty much out of the loop for the most part. I did run into a story at Horseshoe Thursday night.
Yes.
When I was there, run into the fire. I didn't literally run into the fire, but the fire ran into me, so...
Yeah, you were there when it happened.
I got evacuated from the boat because
right.
I was playing in the poker tournament, which is going on there. But I did yesterday. I started thinking, what's coming up this week that we need to prepare for? And one was the city council agenda, which is the work session today, then the meeting tomorrow. And I was perusing the agenda, and I saw something that was interesting. I saw a lease agreement between the city of Shreveport and a group called Shreveland or Shreve something. I forget what it's called. For a piece of property, a building in the Shreve City Shopping Center.
Okay. Oh.
And it's to be used for a temporary East Shreveport police substation.
Oh, nice.
You know, because we talked about some property on Line Avenue. We talked about some other locations. And I thought, well, let me go look and see what this address is. And it's one of the buildings over there on the Goodwill side, not the Big Lots, but closer over to the Burlington. So it's in that little strip.
Okay, right.
On the east side of the property.
Yes.
And it's about a 3,000 square foot retail space that they want to lease for $3,500 a month. When the dust settles, it'll be about $3,500 a month for a year-long lease. And I've been thinking, you know, because I know some council members have raised a lot of questions about how much we're spending on leases. And is that a good idea to be, you know, pumping all this money into leases? Well, you got to get everybody out of the main station, A. They got to get them out
right
before they can reconstruct that. Now, is that a good site for a permanent East Shreveport substation? If we get to a fourth, is that a location for a fourth?
I think it would be perfect.
Pretty close to the parkway.
Parking for enough cars?
Oh, there's tons of parking
right
there. That is an area where they do need police presence. You know, we have a lot of complaints about in the Walmart parking lot. A lot of people say there are problems there.
Wait, the Walmart. This is not the Walmart, though.
Well, it's right down from the Walmart. Walmart's on the other end of the Shreve
City. Okay, that's true. That's true.
And then
I'm sorry.
Just
I'm thinking
keep driving,
further down.
And you've got the Shreve City stuff in there where the Burlington is and all that. So it would be very high profile. You know, I don't know. This is the first I had seen of a Shreve City location.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I've missed the boat. And this has been discussed before. But I thought, this is interesting. And the price isn't too bad. I mean, it really isn't too bad compared. I think it was $9,000 we're paying for the Kingston Road property. This is not that big. But is that a permanent possibility? Is that something we'd want for a, or do we want all our substations to be alike? You know, we're modeling them all after the Monkhouse Drive. You're going to do the same
in
Cedar Grove and North Market are going to be the same. Do we want a standalone site for the fourth one if we're going to do a fourth one?
Why not take advantage of what's already there, though?
Yeah, but how much retrofitting do you have to do to a retail space to make it work for police to put in interview rooms and, you know, all that stuff?
But if it's just a great big wide open space,
right,
then you can build your walls exactly the way you want it.
But you would never own it because they're not selling it. It's a lease. So they'd sell the whole shopping center, but they're not going to sell individual buildings, I don't think. I may be wrong about that. But I was looking at it and I thought, I hadn't heard about a Shreve City location yet, but now it is on the agenda. they could vote, take a final vote on it for tomorrow. So we'll see what happens. Hoping that State Treasurer John Fleming, by the way, will come on tomorrow. He's going to join us tomorrow because I want to talk about, because he's, as treasurer, he's head of the bond commission.
Right.
And he's going to do some research on what now happens with the bonds for the pickleball that the Caddo Commission voted on last week, okay, which I missed. That was, what, a 9-3 vote?
9-3 vote in support of the pickleball park.
Okay. And the three no votes were Ken Epperson, Ron Cawthorn, I believe, and Chris Crackman. So only one Republican voted no. The rest voted for it.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike, it doesn't mean they're going to spend $10 million. People hear that figure and they're freaking out.
Right. It allocates up to $10 million if needed.
Right.
And John Atkins told us last week that he said, do we need 19 courts? Can we do maybe 11? And my concern with that is, look, if one of your goals is to bring in national tournaments and touring, then don't cut it back.
You want to have a big complex.
You want to have, don't.
I would be totally against scaling that back. I really would be.
Thank you. That's what I said. If we're going to do this, then let's do it right.
So the big tournaments can come here.
Right.
And they need 20 courts or 19 courts or whatever it is. That's what they need.
I think that's the minimum size.
Mm-hmm. And several of them will be covered. And you know what? If we can save money, because I did the research and it costs about $50,000 to build a pickleball court. If you do the math, that's about $1 million or whatever to build the 19 or 20 courts. I forget what the math was, but you've got the money to do it and then build the other amenities at the park. So it's more than just pickleball.
1,000 people, 1,000 fans, stadium.
Mm-hmm.
They're really, the initial plans are, looks really good. And a lot of people were like, why don't we make them inside or make some indoor? Actually, professional pickleball players, there are professional pickleball, they prefer outdoor courts.
Really?
USA Pickleball said, no, make them outdoor courts.
Hmm, that's interesting.
So,
well, John Fleming will explain what has to happen with the bond commission and the sale of these bonds. What are the next steps? He's going to talk about that with us tomorrow.
Tomorrow in the 8 o'clock hour, I believe. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
Oh, open the door this morning and the smell of fireplaces burning and the crisp fall air was...
Where were you?
In the air. Yeah, no place around here, that's for sure. It is the first day of fall.
I know.
Now, the cool thing about that is, Aaron, the Revel opens this weekend.
I know. It starts Thursday, I believe,
Red
right?
The Red River Revel.
They're doing things a little different this year, by the way. They're not going to be open on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday of next week.
Right.
This is their first year where they're cutting those 3 days out. So they'll be open Thursday through Sunday and then Thursday through Sunday again. And it's such a cool event.
It makes me a little sad, but I get it. I get it. It's a weekend event.
Mm-hmm. And one of the problems was getting all the volunteers that they need for the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's tough.
And that's a lot of entertainment to try to book. And
you bet.
Fill those stages seven nights a week. Multiple stages.
You bet. No kidding. And most people go out on the weekends. They go out just to enjoy it. And it's still going to be. And some of the artists, because it used to be like midway through, like on the Wednesday, some of the artists would change out.
Mm-hmm.
Now they were doing it. I'm told that some of the artists are going to do the first weekend and some will do the second weekend. And others chose to do both.
Mm-hmm.
They want to stay for both. So they'll just enjoy being in town and doing things around town Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then they'll stay for the second half. So you're going to have lots of great artists. I use the Revel to get gifts for Christmas. It's one of the best places to get handmade things that are, you know, you can't
uniquely
find anywhere else.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Uniquely, a lot of times, uniquely Louisiana.
Absolutely. Definitely. And hand-done things like cutting boards that are handmade and, you know, things that are just beautiful pieces of art that people in my life would appreciate. You can find it all at the Revel.
There was an artist from New Orleans that would come up every year, and he would do cityscapes and French Quarter art, the buildings and stuff. And it was, I just loved his work. And I haven't seen him in several years. And I can't think of his name. If somebody were to say his name, I'd go, yeah, that's it. That's him. But I haven't seen him in a while. And I used to love his work. But local artists like Lauren Ross Simmons, that's going to be there. The entertainment, Opossum, Where Art Thou, going to be performing.
I don't think they're signed up this year.
I put in a petition hoping to get Opossum.
Don't think they're there.
They said, yeah, they're going to be there Tuesday night at midnight.
No Opossum. And I still have such memories of the kids area and those little shopping carts.
Oh, the little Brookshires,
and the kids would go through the little grocery store, and they'd put the steak in there, and then we'd. Yeah. I wonder if inflation has hit the little Red River Revel grocery store. Have the prices gone up in the grocery store, and do they still have the same shopping carts?
Do they still have the large kids area?
Oh yeah. Oh, face painting, all kind of hands on the dig where you're digging for gold.
Right.
Yeah, they have all kind of stuff. And yeah, it's a great, that was, for me, it was a big carrot. Those weekday afternoons for me, when I picked up my boys from school, and if they both were on green all day, they got to go to the Revel that afternoon.
On green, I'm assuming that's a good thing.
Yeah, green star. Yeah, okay. You know, if you got a green star, you had a good day. If you got yellow, you had a problem. If you got red, mama was getting a phone call. So if they were both on green all day,
we're
going to the Revel. We're going to go hang out at the Revel and enjoy time. And
another
we used to go.
Tradition for us was trout fishing in America.
Oh, love
that.
That
would come every year.
Trout fishing. love trout fishing.
Oh, what a great band.
Man, my dad apparently used to open for them at Enox.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, cool.
We go back to the Rusty Nail days.
They're on Kings Highway
back when I was in college. Woo. Oh, I used to love to go see them.
That's cool.
Opens this weekend. Mm-hmm. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app.